What if the key to the next generation of electric vehicles and grid storage wasn't a rare earth metal, but something as common as table salt? This week, Chinese battery giant CATL announced plans for 200 gigawatt hours of sodium ion battery production, more than triple the entire global capacity just last year. The age of lithium may be facing its first real competitor, and it's arriving faster than anyone expected. That's the intelligence you need right now. Welcome to Troy Technical Intelligence, your weekly strategic briefing on the technology that matters. I'm Susie.
And I'm Troy.
This week, we're tracking a seismic shift in the battery landscape. First, the main event, the sudden and massive commercialization of sodium-ion batteries led by China is forcing Western companies to react. Second, we'll look at the high-stakes race for the next big leap in EV performance, pitting practical silicon anodes against high-reward lithium-sulfur technology. And finally, how the insatiable power demands of AI are creating a multi-billion dollar market for a new class of long-duration energy storage, transforming grid infrastructure. Troy, let's start with this sodium ion tsunami. It feels like this technology went from a lab curiosity to a global contender in a matter of months. What exactly is happening?
It's a confluence of technological maturity and market pressure. The technology itself uses abundant sodium, a hard carbon anode, and a sodium salt electrolyte, fundamentally removing lithium from the equation. A study published June 21st shows Chinese manufacturer Hina cells already have production quality and design features comparable to Tesla's lithium-ion cells. And now, the world's largest battery maker, CATL, is going all in. They plan to have up to 20,000 EVs using their sodium-ion batteries by the end of 2026, and just announced a plan to scale annual production to a staggering 200 gigawatt hours.
200 gigawatt hours is a colossal number. Why this aggressive push right now?
The driver is cost and supply chain security. Lithium prices, despite a 13.8% dip this past month, are still up 149% year over year. That volatility is crushing margins for EV makers. Sodium ion offers a way out. Its raw materials are cheap and globally abundant, and the performance is now good enough. CATL's second-generation Nextra cell hits 175 watt-hours per kilogram, and other studies show the tech is approaching 90% of the energy density of the mainstream LFP lithium batteries.
Okay, let's make this specific for our audience. How does this affect a U.S. or European auto parts manufacturer?
It's both a major threat and an opportunity. The threat is that Chinese EV and BESS, that's battery energy storage system, manufacturers will soon have a significant structural cost advantage. The opportunity is to pivot. U.S. and European firms should be developing their own sodium-ion component manufacturing capabilities for anodes, cathodes, and electrolytes to serve a domestic market. GM is already moving, partnering with Peak Energy to build a domestic sodium-ion supply chain.
And what should Western trading companies and distributors know?
They need to recognize a new product category is being born. On June 23rd, CATL launched Tenor, the world's first field-validated commercial sodium-ion storage system. This is a ready-to-deploy product. Trading companies should be establishing contact with these suppliers now. Market timing is critical. The startup Moonwatt predicts sodium-ion will reach cost parity with LFP batteries in just 2 to 3 years. The window to build relationships and secure distribution is opening right now.
So the actionable insight for an executive listening today.
Mandate your R&D and supply chain teams to evaluate sodium ion immediately. Model the total cost of ownership implications of switching from lithium ion for your products. In the U.S., get familiar with the American Battery Leadership Coalition. They are advocating for federal policies to support a domestic industry, which will create incentives and opportunities you need to be ready to capture.
Beyond the cost battle with sodium ion, there's a race for pure performance in electric vehicles. Troy, we're hearing a lot about silicon anodes. General Motors seems to be betting the farm on it.
They are, and for good reason. Silicon anodes replace the traditional graphite in a lithium-ion cell. In theory, silicon can hold 10 times more energy. In practice, companies like Silla Nanotechnologies are already claiming a 20% EV range increase. Amprius Technologies suggest a jump from a 310-mile range to 574 miles is possible. This is a near-term, high-impact upgrade.
And it's not just range, it's charging speed too, right?
Exactly. Mercedes-Benz just demonstrated an 11-minute charge from 10% to 80% in its new AMG GT using silicon-containing anodes. This directly addresses one of the biggest barriers to EV adoption. That's why GM's VP of Battery, Kurt Kelty, stated he believes silicon anodes will be commercialized even faster than solid-state batteries.
But this is valuable technology. I see Sila, a U.S. company, just filed a complaint with the International Trade Commission against a Chinese competitor, C1. What does that tell us?
It tells us the technology is commercially mature and valuable enough to be a target for IP theft. Sila is trying to protect its Titan silicon technology and its domestic manufacturing base at its gigawatt-hour scale facility in Washington. This legal action is a clear signal that the silicon anode market is real and the competitive battle is heating up.
So is silicon the only game in town for next-gen performance? We're also hearing buzz about lithium sulfur.
Lithium sulfur, or Li-S, is a different proposition. Its theoretical energy density is incredible, up to 2,600 watt-hours per kilogram, which is 5 to 6 times better than current tech. LG Energy Solution is already achieving 400-500 watt-hours per kilogram in practical sales, and it uses abundant, cheap sulfur with no cobalt or nickel.
That sounds revolutionary. What's the catch?
The catch is durability. A new report from Germany's Fraunhofer ISI highlights the major hurdle, limited cycle life. The internal chemistry, something called the polysulfide shuttle effect, causes the battery to degrade quickly, so it's not ready for a 10-year, 3,000-cycle EV battery pack.
So for European aerospace or defense manufacturer, which of these two technologies matters more?
For them, it's absolutely lithium sulfur. Its key advantage is gravimetric energy density, or how much energy you get per kilogram. For drones, electric aviation, and military applications, weight is everything. Early commercialization is expected by 2026 for these high-value, low-cycle niches. Silicon anodes are for the mass-market automotive sector.
And the actionable takeaway for executives?
If you're in automotive, you must be piloting silicon anode cells now to stay competitive on range and charging. If you're in aerospace, defense, or specialized mobility, it's time to engage with Li-Sulfur startups. The technology is maturing for applications where the highest possible energy density is worth the trade-off in cycle life.
Let's shift from vehicles to the grid itself. The power demand from artificial intelligence is a massive story. How is the energy storage industry evolving to cope with this?
It's forcing a fundamental shift. Battery storage is moving from being a peripheral grid asset to being core infrastructure for data centers. The problem is that AI workloads create massive, unpredictable power spikes that can destabilize the local grid. On-site storage acts as a buffer, absorbing these spikes. This trend is driving record growth. The U.S. deployed a record 8.4 gigawatt hours of energy storage in Q1 2026 alone, up 54% year over year.
And we're seeing a lot of new non-lithium technologies specifically for these large-scale applications, right?
Correct. This is the rise of long-duration energy storage, or LDES, defined by the U.S. Department of Energy as systems that can discharge for 10 hours or more. This is where the most interesting innovation is happening. A report from Eurelectric and AFRI projects that each gigawatt of LDES in Europe could save up to 250 million euros annually.
What are some of these new chemistries coming to market?
We're seeing multiple technologies get major commercial contracts. In the Netherlands, OR Energy just signed a 1 gigawatt-hour deal for its iron air batteries, which can store power for 4 days. In Ireland, Google is partnering with Energy Dome to build a 200 megawatt-hour CO2 battery, set to operate in 2028. And vanadium flow batteries are scaling up, with China's Romke Power activating a massive 1,000 megawatt-hour facility, and Invinity Energy Systems signing deals in the UK, US, and Switzerland.
For a U.S. manufacturer with a large factory, what's the direct implication here?
The implication is a new tool for cost control and resilience. On-site LDES can dramatically reduce your electricity bill by cutting expensive peak demand charges. It also insulates your operations from grid instability. A new FERC order directing grid operators to reform charges for large loads, like factories and data centers, will make it easier and more economical to integrate this kind of storage.
And for a trading firm or a private equity investor?
LDES is an entirely new infrastructure asset class. The UK's energy regulator, Ofgem, just selected 16 projects totaling 7.6 gigawatts. These are long-term, utility-scale projects, creating new markets for specialized hardware, control software, and project financing. there's a parallel opportunity in the circular economy. The market for repurposed EV batteries, often used for this purpose, is projected to grow from $6.9 billion in 2026 to $37.5 billion by 2035.
Your final actionable point on this?
If your company has high energy consumption, especially data centers, cold storage, or advanced manufacturing, you must start modeling on-site LDES as a core operational asset, not just an emergency backup. This is about managing cost, ensuring resilience, and potentially generating new revenue from grid services.
All right, Troy, a huge amount of intelligence to process this week. Let's boil it down. What are the three key strategic takeaways for executives?
First, sodium ion is a commercial reality, not a future promise. With CATL's 200 gigawatt hour plan and validated products hitting the market, it represents an immediate competitive threat and opportunity. Western firms must develop a sodium ion strategy now to counter the emerging Chinese cost advantage in EVs and grid storage. Second, the EV performance race is specializing. Silicon anodes are the clear near-term path to longer range and faster charging for mass-market cars. Lithium sulfur is the high-risk, high-reward play for weight-sensitive applications like aerospace and defense. You need to bet on the right technology for your specific industry. And third, storage is now core infrastructure. Driven by AI and renewables, long-duration storage is no longer a niche grid asset. It's becoming a required component for any large industrial power user. Executives should be evaluating on-site LDES for their own facilities to control costs, ensure resilience, and maintain a competitive edge.
That's all the time we have for this week's briefing. Troy, thanks for the clarity.
My pleasure, Susie.
For our listeners, the key is to move from observation to action. You can find a full transcript of today's analysis on our website. Be sure to subscribe to Troy Technical Intelligence wherever you get your podcasts so you never miss your weekly strategic briefing. We'll talk to you next week.